Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program.
I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times.
This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. I'm Rob Greaves, and welcome to the second and final program on the life and times of 66-year-old Colin Jarvis. In part one, we learned that Colin and his father and grandfather have all had a love for the land, resulting in their settling into Victoria's Yarra Valley, specifically in and around Healesville. Last program, we tracked Colin through his formative years. In this program, we continue to learn about Colin's employment, which has consisted of only three different jobs in his whole life. Apart from farm work, Colin talks about his work with the RACV Country Club and the historic Golf Station. We learn about his marriage to Ellie and its enduring nature, and about his association with the Working Horse Association and his ownership, or is it friendship, with his Clydesdale. Now, join me and Colin. What's your wife's name?
Wife's name's Ellie.
Ellie.
Yeah.
How did you meet Ellie?
How did we meet Ellie?
Yes.
You know, when we were young, growing up, nowadays the kids go off to the pubs and where the discos and wherever. Well, in the 1960s, everybody went to the dances in the district.
Very important, weren't they, those dances?
Oh, big time, yeah. And Yarra Glen had the biggest dance in the valley, in the Yarra Valley. There was other ones at Wandon and Seville, but every week there was a dance at Yarra Glen. And when we say a dance, they were ballroom dances.
Okay.
Where you did ballrooms, foxtrot, evening three steps.
Pride of Erin, yes.
So, and then the rock and roll was sort of in, so some, they were all live bands that played there. So you'd have people in the dances, say in a foxtrot, as you call it, or a rock and roll. There would be people going around the outside of the perimeter of the hall, and in the centre there would be the people rocking and rolling. So you'd have the two different
styles, but styles both of the same piece of music.
But Yarra Glen had such an attraction that it was only a medium-sized hall, but it would have a horseshoe that would go out through the kitchen, supper room, and back through and do a horseshoe in the middle of the room as well. So it was quite a well-known place, and that's where probably a lot of the Healesville people ended up meeting their wives. It was a place where you met other women and you'd go over there and try and get a girl. That's where I met my wife. She was one of the girls that were in the dance. She came from Willydale. She was born in Tulangi, which is not far away. So I spent a lot of time going from Healesville to Willydale over the next few years.
When you first saw her, was it a matter of, wow, this is a good-looking sort, or did it take time?
I can get into trouble.
You can get into trouble.
Yeah.
So you can be very careful.
Yeah. When I first saw her, she was good friends with my mate, so I actually took her home, he took her home in my car a couple of times, but that didn't work out, so that was all right. And it wasn't long after that that I thought, well, yeah, she's not a bad sort, so I
started asking her out
myself.
So obviously the first time you asked Ellie, she said yes.
Yeah. So we actually knew one another through somebody else before we sort of met. But that was the way things happened in those times. And but we started going out together, and probably a couple of years after that we got married.
Did you get on well with her parents?
Got on very well with her parents. Her dad was, she reckons I got on too well with him, because he if there was a difference of opinion, he would always side with me before he sided with her. But no, he was a really nice guy.
Yes,
as a family, we got on really well. When we got engaged, we had the reception down at the Croydon, near the Croydon Drive-In. And he came up to us halfway through the night. There was about 100 people there celebrating with us, our engagement party. And he came up halfway through the night and he said, well, I've gone and seen the reception people. We can have your wedding here. When do you want to get married? We can either get married next December or the April after that. And we said, well, we quickly made a mind up. We said, well, we might as well get married in 6 months' time in December and be done with it. So he helped work out our wedding.
He certainly pushed it together.
it all went off really well.
Okay, so you've married Ellie. Yep. You're still working on farms?
Still working on the farm. Still working at Yarra Grain. And 1962, there was bad fires went through that area. That was before I got married. And so house on the corner of Radden's Lane, as it was, had been burnt down. And because we were getting married, Michael had decided to rebuild the house, and he rebuilt it for us so we could live in it. And we lived there for about 4 years before I moved out, gave that job away, and we moved into Healesville. And I got a job working at the golf course at the RACV Country Club. Started off there just pushing a mower around the greens and as a golf course worker. Eventually, after about 10 years of doing everything on the golf course, the superintendent or the chap in charge had moved on. And so I took on the job as superintendent of the golf course and stayed there for another 15 years. I was spent 25 years of my time at the RACV Country Club.
So that would have taken you to the 80s then. That's 80. A fair swag of your life.
Yeah. So really for the whole length of my life, I spent it all in Healesville. I spent 11 years working on the farm, Yarra Grange, 25 years working at the RACV Country Club, and then I moved from there over to Gulf Station at Yarra Glen, the old historic homestead over there. So I only ever had three jobs in my life.
Amazing. Three main jobs. That, especially these days when people seem to be in and out of jobs so regularly.
Yeah. I was lucky that I had employment close to where I wanted to be, and I quite enjoyed it. I'd get very involved in what I was doing and dedicated to what I was doing. My wife always said that I lived the job too much.
But if you enjoy it, exactly.
That's what it's all about. I was very lucky. At the RACV, I'd worked into a position that I quite enjoyed and had six other guys there working under me, but saw a lot of changes happening. There was an old weatherboard house, guest house there when we first started, and about 3 or 4 years after I'd been there, they built a new clubhouse, which they spent about $2.5 million building this new brick clubhouse, and then they extended on that after a couple of years, and just recently they're renovating again. I think they're spending around $80 million. Yeah, but they would never spend that money when I was there.
No, I think they would have had a heart attack if somebody had said that.
To get maintenance things on the golf course was a big deal. Mm. You had to put in a budget every year, and you always put it in for more than what you wanted. But if you got something really great, it was a big deal, because the golf course wasn't the be-all and end-all of the RACV Country Club. It was mainly for the RACV guests to come up and have a social evening. Clubhouse was the main attraction. People came up to the clubhouse and they stayed like a guest house. And later on it was a lot of conferences that spent time. That's where the money was, in the conferences. But in those early times in the golf course, especially in the old weatherboard building, it was very much a guest house where you had a room and the bathrooms were up the passageway. You never had the en-suites like you do nowadays. And very much a community thing. And the people that would come there, say, we've just had Australia Day weekend, a long weekend, and you would have people come there that weekend. And because it was such a close-knit place, everybody socialised together, and there would only be about 30 or 40 guests there. And they would play golf, and some groups would run little competitions between themselves. They'd play, and there was other... It wasn't just golf. There was... you could play tennis, croquet, lawn bowls. So there was other things that we had to look after as well as golf course. And the golf course was just one of the facilities that the members had for them for their entertainment.
Now, you came from a very large family, as you mentioned earlier, 8 in your family. Did you end up having a large family?
No, I was the opposite. Ellie and I, when we got married, we had two girls. Kelly's the oldest one, and Liza. They're about 2 years apart.
And were they born in the 60s or the 70s?
Now you're putting it hard on me, aren't you?
Oh, I'm not even asking you for the actual year, just the decade here.
Yeah, they were born in the 70s.
In the 70s. Yeah. Was that a very joyous moment or period for you?
I think to most parents, your children, you think you have everything when you're a teenager and then you get married and you think, well, this is great. You know, you meet someone that you love and you really bond with that person. You make a lot of mistakes. We've been really lucky, and I've been really lucky to have a beautiful woman that I've lived with all my life. And that's something pretty rare that doesn't happen these days. But you have to work on it. And I made a lot of mistakes, but I made a lot of good choices too.
Yeah.
And even now we seem to bond closer now than what we have when we were younger.
That often happens. Yeah. I've noticed that, yes.
And since we've been retired, we're getting on really, really great. But we had two children, and they grew up, started on the farm and then onto the golf course. They had a really fantastic backyard. We lived on the golf course for about 3 years, so they had a backyard of whatever you want to do on the 60 acres. And then we built in Healesville, built a house in Healesville, and we still live in that same house.
I light the fire, you place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, featuring the life and times of older Australians.
We think interest rates and things were starting to, was going up. You know, the price of building a house was going up. We bought this block a few years earlier, and things weren't looking too good as far as our finances or our savings were getting eaten up with the interest at that particular time. So we bit the bullet and built our house. I think it cost us $17,000, which is a little bit less than what they cost now.
Oh, I think so. You can only look back at that now and think I made the right decision.
Yeah. It was about 35 or 36 years ago or something like that now. We were looking the other day. And we still live in that same house.
Right.
It's on a part of Hillsville, up on the side of the hill behind the fire station in Newgrove Road. And we've got a beautiful outlook across the valley, and we even thought when we retired we'll look for a flat block somewhere else. And we looked around, we couldn't find anything that satisfied us, so we renovated and we'll stay there for another few years.
Well, now we've got some idea about you in terms of your who you were and how things were when you were young. We understand that that working on the land has been a very big part of your life. But what about you in terms of interests and hobbies?
Interests and hobbies. I've always been a keen fisherman, and so I've spent a lot of time just going up around the bush.
So river fishing?
River fishing. I never got really keen on surf fishing or saltwater fishing, mainly river fishing or up around Eildon or in the creeks, anywhere. So I quite enjoyed going up into the Goulburn River and anywhere like that. Never ever bought a boat or anything like that. It was quite just a bank fisherman. I played carpet bowls for quite a few years. I was in the Hillsville Angling Club. A lot of people went there for quite a few years. I was the president of that for about 10 years, I think. Time goes pretty quick when you do those sort of things.
Oh, yes.
And like a lot of little clubs, you'll have just a core group that will help run that thing. And so I spent a lot of time there. The Angling Club had some social nights. And we used to have competitions every week where you'd have to go around and weigh your fish in. And so we had some really good times.
When we started, you mentioned to me something about being in front of a microphone before. What was that all about?
In the later years, I went to, after the, retired from the RACV, well, they offered me a package, really. So it was, they were changing their structure around their management structure, offered me a package. So I took the package and headed off. I got a job working over at Gulf Station as farm manager, and the manager there left after a couple of years, and I took on the job as managing the place. Gulf Station is classified by the National Trust. It's a government property that's managed by the National Trust, classified as the most complete timber slab farm that's still around.
So what's its history for it to be classified like that?
It dates back to the 1850s. It was one of the first farms in the Yarra Valley, and a family called Bells lived there for most of their... They lived there for close on 100 years, the family.
But how did that time with microphones?
The microphone times came... I did some interviews at Gulf Station about the Bell family and what Gulf Station was about and how I was involved with that.
And is that still running today?
It's still managed today, yes.
So it's more of a tourist attraction, isn't it?
It's a tourist attraction, and people don't realise, well, it's history, which a lot of people don't sort of connect with the history of the valley. Its history is very important to the Yarra Valley because of the fact that it's one of the very few remaining farms that are still around.
Right.
You can get very involved with those sort of things because if it's not managed in the right way, they can, a lot of the little things that are important in the structure of how, even how the architecture in those buildings and the management of them can be changed very quickly, and then the little skills and things that happen there can be lost.
Yes, that's right.
We used to, and I learnt this from Kevin Healy, the manager prior to me, we used to run little festivals quite often, a couple of times a year, on a bonfire night, on Guy Fawkes night, and we had some fantastic nights over there. And but some of these little festivals, we got involved with quite a few other little associations like the Spinners and Weavers, the Blacksmiths Association, the Yarra Valley Machinery Preservation.
All those sort of skills and trades which have been lost today.
Trades that were lost, the Victorian Working Horse Association, which I'm still involved with. So those old historic skills get lost unless they're shown somewhere. It's all right for these little associations to just have their things, but it's only in something like a little festival where they can actually be shown to the public.
It makes sense then, doesn't it? Otherwise,
it makes sense of why they
that's
are.
That's right.
And I think a lot of the Yarra Valley people would have remembered Hoddle's Creek Working Horse Festival, or the chap that used to own the property over there spent many, many years improving, and but he passed away about 6 years ago now, I think it was. And so that festival stopped happening. It was a very important part of sort of the history or the all these little associations,
yes,
somewhere for them
to give them a focus, yes.
So I was approached when I was at Gulf Station to look at putting this festival on. So it was a big deal. We did away, we changed the structure of what we did as far as our little festivals, and we decided to do away with our 6 monthly ones and focus on a big 2 day event. And so we did that about 4 or 5 years ago now, and we ran a working horse, Pioneer Working Horse Festival, we called it. And we had about 60 odd stallholders of all different, not just historic things happening, but if anybody had something to display,
arts and crafts type
arts
thing.
Arts and crafts, food and everything like that. And most of the stallholders that were at, and or associations that were at Hoddle's Creek, were only too happy to come across and be part of what we were doing there. So we had 2 really fantastic festivals, and then it just happened that I pushed the wrong buttons with the National Trust and we didn't see eye to eye. So I parted.
That happens.
Not under the best circumstances, but it's a shame, because shame for the National Trust probably more than me, because they lost all the skills and all the knowledge that I had.
That is irreplaceable. That's right.
Yeah, they don't realise. Just because you spend 10 years of your life studying and evolving around a particular thing, when you walk away from it, it's hard to walk away from something like that.
Oh, yes.
And the skills and the knowledge that you've got, especially when they put in somebody that doesn't know anything, and that particular person is no longer with them because they could see that it wasn't working, and that chap that's there now is trying to get it to go, but he hasn't got the skills either. They just had a festival the other week and it struggled.
It struggled.
Yeah.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
That's where I finished up my retirement, pretty much.
Well, our time's nearly up, Colin, yeah. But seeing we've been talking about lost skills and those sorts of things and how we've changed because of that, maybe my last question to you would be, in the 60-odd years that you've been alive, what would be the biggest change you've seen?
Probably the biggest change I can see that I can't keep up with is, say, the computer age.
Technology.
Which technology has moved that fast, and it's moving that fast now. You can't keep up with it. And I don't try and keep up with it. I would rather try and keep hold of the
traditional skills.
Traditional skills that I know. And I've still become involved. I'm still involved with the Working Horse Association. One of the chaps that I was involved with, we went for 18 months ago now. We did a trip. He restored a very old wagon, a hay wagon. It was a 12-ton hay wagon, 6 foot high and 15 foot long. He bought it from a place up near Naranda in New South Wales, only on the context that the chap said you can't just put it in your front yard like you see them and let it rot away.
Let it rot away. He wants it done
and
something
he completely
with.
Restored this wagon. And there was 4 of us got together from the Working Horse Association, and we left the Echuca, and for 4 weeks we were on the road with a team of 7 horses.
Oh, wow.
And we went to Naranda and we took it back to this chap that he bought it off, and the town there, and we were able to take it back to the town and show the town this wagon that had come from there. And they were just wrapped. Actually, they've been invited back next September to be in a large festival that's happening at Ganmain, which is the next town on.
Well, Colin, I mean, there are more people than you can shake a stick at out there dealing with technology.
Yes.
So thankfully there's a few people like you and the people you're working with who are keeping these old skills alive.
I'm keen to sort of follow that through. At Easter time there's a festival which is held down at Churchill Island, opposite Phillip Island.
Yes.
And they have a working horse festival down there. So I'm lucky enough, I've got a big horse. When I was at Gulf Station, I'd started up a Clydesdale stud.
Right.
And as part of the animals there, we kept the same animals that were on the farm 100 years ago. So when I left Gulf Station, I took my big horse with me, and I've still got him today. And you'll probably see him walking past the window here one day.
Well, I'll know who he is now.
You'll know who he is. And so I take him out to festivals and so forth with the Working Horse Association, and we demonstrate the art of handling a big horse. And they do dirt days. And
I bet it fascinates people.
Yeah. So at the moment, I'm sort of still looking at what sort of a vehicle I can put him in. So if anybody has got an old cart in their backyard and they don't know what to do with it, they could get onto us and in the Yarra Valley. I'm sort of keen to restore something to back to its original state. I've got a chap right into that as well. There's a few of us.
Well, I mean, this program goes nationally, but for those listeners in the Yarra Valley, if you do have something like that that you think Colin might be interested in, you can contact the radio station that's broadcasting this. Mm. They'll contact us and we'll contact Colin.
Yeah.
That's probably a great place for us to finish, Colin. Thank you very much for coming in and speaking with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Good. Thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program, and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.